Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, and I'm joined by, it's been a long time, I think, my good friend and frequent guest on this show, Vubang. What's up, Vubang?
What's up, Patrick? And yes, I'm from the group chat.
Oh, yeah. The group chat, yeah. We're on a big group chat, group text with a bunch of dudes that I think I know five of them. I probably know more of them by now because I've had a bunch of them on this show and I'll have more of them on. But yeah, that's where Vubang's from. So I got to admit, man, I'm a little rusty because I think it's almost been a couple months since I've put out an episode or even thought about Warriors basketball. I completely tuned out and it's been great. I'm putting last season, all that mumbo jumbo behind me. I skipped the FIBA championships, Team USA stuff, all that. I skipped Rich Paul, throwing shade at Steph on some podcast or whatever, because to me, like, don't even matter. But, I wanted to get back into the swing of things. And as we're recording this on Friday, it was announced that the Warriors, they signed the former number, I think, 23 pick in the 2021 draft by the Houston Rockets, Usman Garuba, to a two-way deal. And they're also supposed to meet with Dwight Howard, one of my least favorite players in the last 10, 15 years. They're meeting with him supposedly next week. And I want to talk about Garuba first. He was somebody that I had my eye on in that draft. He's not that tall. He's 6'8". He has a 7'3" wingspan. But the dude, he was supposed to be good in the pick and roll and good defensively. I honestly did not track him at all very much in Houston, but Houston's Houston, right? Rebuilding team, kind of scattershot bunch of dudes for a couple years. And so they got rid of this guy. And I think a two-way is great. It's great use of a two-way. And I think that he could honestly help with the Warriors on defense, just another big body. I mean, we all know that's kind of what they're missing right now. So I like it. I like it. I mean, if anyone can come into the can take a guy like Garuba and like a role player like that and just have him fit into the system, the Warriors system could be perfect for him. I don't know. I'm not making any grand predictions, but it's a very, low risk, high reward type thing. You got any thoughts on this dude?
Yeah, this is the draft I remember. It's the draft they had like a ton of different players. I'm looking it up right now. 4 first round draft picks, and he's the odd man out that didn't make it through.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's really just the number of people that were trying to get a position. So.
Yeah. And, he was somebody that the Warriors like looked at the time and whatnot. So I think it's great. I'm super happy and I look forward to seeing what he can do in camp. I'm looking forward to seeing just getting eyes on him, seeing what kind of player he is for real. Because, again, this news just came out today and I was in no rush to watch a bunch of clips of him, but I like what I know from before. Dwight Howard, I'll let you take this one, man. You could start off. What are your thoughts on this tweet by Shams that the Warriors are talking to Dwight Howard next week?
I mean, I think the first thing is that this is a Dwight Howard news PR thing, right? I mean, it's coming from Dwight Howard and not from the Warriors, I assume. Like, why else would a news of a meeting coming up next week be actual news?
Right.
I think it's very odd. I know this happened last year or the year before where his camp came out and said, Dwight Howard is having conversations with these three teams. I still think that the Warriors system can take care of guys like this and keep them in control, especially with a guy like CP coming in. I don't see a problem with it. You know, if he can kill in the Taiwanese league, I assume he can kill here. But yeah, just realistically, I think there's a possibility. I mean, at one point he was the best center in the league. And he should have been in the top 75, except for the fact that he's an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I got to thank Dwight Howard for going to the Rockets and allowing us to get Andre Iguodala. That was a big non-signing for the Warriors. You know, like, I've never been a big Dwight Howard fan. Like, I guess if he's a big body at the end of the bench, then, I mean, is he better than JaVale McGee at this point? I don't know.
I mean, that's the comp, right? If I told you 5 years ago, would you rather have JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard?
5 years ago? Man, I just don't like Dwight Howard. So,
as a person, you don't like Dwight Howard as a person.
I guess I'd probably want Howard 7 years ago. Yeah, of course, sure. Because JaVale McGee at that point was still shacked in a fool, the butt of the jokes, clips of him running the wrong way on the court and all that jazz. So, you know, JaVale McGee as a role player, we found out was great for the...
What do you think of him signing with the Kings?
You know, again, I don't know what he has left in the tank, but I was surprised. I was surprised he went to the Kings. I guess the draw of Mike Brown, and then also, you know, maybe he just wants to play like with some of these younger kids, and maybe he has a more defined role, right?
But do you think he was legitimately going to sign with the Warriors, or if the Warriors even wanted him?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I was tuned out. I didn't catch any rumors or any kind of like intel from anyone hypothesizing this, that, or the other. Because when he was a free agent, I was like, okay, you know, Warriors should maybe look at him and swoop him up. But
because the narrative is that the Warriors wanted him and he went to the Kings instead. And I just don't know if I believe that narrative, that it was even his decision.
Yeah. I mean, again, I have no clue. I mean, we'll see as the first game versus the Kings comes closer, whenever the heck that is. And I'm sure people will chatter about that a little bit. But, like, you know, not a huge loss missing out on JaVale McGee if they can find other dudes to fill in. But, like, with Dwight Howard, man, it's like, I guess if you have a bunch of, like, vets and grumpy old dudes like Chris Paul and Draymond Green and etc., then, you know, hopefully they can keep Dwight Howard, not necessarily in line, because I don't think like he's, you know, wild like that or like going to be like a distraction. But the whole thing is he's never been a quote unquote Warriors type player. So that's what I'm looking for. Even if he is end of the bench, you know, fouling dudes 4 or 5 minutes a game. So, but I would be curious to see him run the Warriors offense just to see if he can actually do it. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I personally, I don't know. You tell me, like, right now, if it was like, okay, the Warriors going to, you could decide if the Warriors get Dwight Howard or not, would you say yes or no?
I'd say yes. I mean, I would rather have a Dwight Howard than a Kent Bazemore coming back or even a JTA coming back. Like, we know what they're like in the playoffs. At least I would somewhat trust a tall body to pull, you know, to post up against a Jokic, right? Because it's really just about Jokic in the playoffs. Every decision we make at this point is about one player in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, that's fair. That is definitely, definitely fair. So we'll find out soon if that meeting actually takes place and if anything comes of it. I want to quickly just chat about Team USA and the FIBA championships. The Warriors lost to, I believe, Germany, and then they lost the bronze game, the third place game, to our friends up north in Canada. And I don't know, I mean, like, was this a big deal? Like, did you have any takeaways from this whole thing?
I mean, the biggest deal for me is the Steve Kerr situation, right? I mean, well, first of all, if they win, they win, and no one's going to be talking about it. If they lose, it's going to be a big deal. But it's always been a big deal to have Coach K coach the USA basketball and sort of what it means to recruiting at Duke and the reputation he has. If Steve Kerr starts getting a reputation of like not being able to hold up USA basketball, and God forbid he doesn't win the gold medal next year, then it's going to hurt the Warriors. That's all I really care about. I really don't care if USA basketball wins or loses. It just really comes back to being a Warriors fan.
Yeah. Like I said, I didn't tune into any games live, but I just kept reading, you know, little blurbs saying about how small the Team USA was. And I was like, I feel like I've heard this before.
Right? It's just we don't have any good American centers.
Right. Especially dudes who are willing to play down low.
Injury prone and scared of playing. Like Zion, is Zion ever going to play internationally?
Probably not, man. I don't know. I just don't believe in his health. And I don't believe that as the years go that he'll be one of those prime guys to get. But I could be wrong. It's funny, though, right? Because there was all that noise about LeBron James and Steph and Anthony Davis and Draymond. They're all like committing. I don't know if it's true or if it was just social media like hype, but they're all committing to the Olympics next year. And I mean, it's funny, right? Because we've seen this story like twice already, you know? It's like the 92 Barcelona team. It's like, oh, we're going to show the world again. We're going to get like our best guys to show we're the best basketball country in the world. And then that happens. And then they kind of, you know, players commit, don't commit. They don't get the best dudes. And then all of a sudden they lose again. And then it's like, okay, we're coming back with the best players. And here's the redeem team with Kobe and LeBron and Melo. And, you know, oh, yeah, we're back. And then, you know, commitments kind of fade and whatever. And it's like, oh, here's all these young guys and we lose. And like, oh, now we're going to come back and show everybody. I don't know. I mean, it's like the same thing over and over again. And it'll be fun to see Steph in the Olympics if he goes. But, you know, all the drama just feels kind of, I mean, was there drama? I mean, were people really that upset? I don't know.
They're upset, but it's the people that there's two different types of people. One half were just like, there's basketball being played in the Philippines right now.
And I didn't know it was in the Philippines, man. I was like, why am I seeing all like these social media things of dudes trying like Filipino candy?
Yeah. And the other half were just like, I can't believe we lost. But my whole thing with Olympic USA basketball, FIBA basketball, is that there's two different types of formations. The one is we build a team based on who we can get that are the best at what their position or what have you on an off Olympic year, right? The other is we get the best of the best. And whether or not they all play well together, that's secondary to us getting the best of the best. And it's not going to be hard to convince Steph, who this is now the last thing on his resume. And it's not going to be hard to convince them to go to the Olympics in the middle of Paris in the summer, you know, versus in Japan during the pandemic, which was impossible, obviously. And, you know, in Rio, they were on a cruise ship docked on the side, like Paris in the middle of summer, like they're all going to go, right? So my whole thing is like the way that everybody else does this in all the other countries is they have cohorts and they train and they know how to play with each other since they're 12 years old. Like these guys all know each other. They just don't show up and start playing. And so we just need to start at a certain age and figure this out. And rather than build this past team with just like, let's just pick Mikal Bridges, let's have Jalen Brunson, legitimately pick players that are in a program that'll play multiple years so that they all know how well to play with each other. So I'm fine with this team as long as I know that they're going to play next year in the Olympics. And it sounds like they're not going to play next year in the Olympics together. They're going to blow this team up and replace players with Steph and with Anthony Davis and with LeBron. Like this is a LeBron team building exercise next year. It's not going to be the way that it should be built.
Right, right. And it's perfect for LeBron because it's like this, the narrative of this thing, I haven't used that word narrative in a long time. I use it all the time on this show. The narrative is like, okay, now he's coming in to be the hero, save the day, and all that jazz. It's funny because, right, like the commitment that Jerry Colangelo had asked after the loss that led to the Redeem team, it's like, you know, they've been more relaxed on that, right? On like, you know, guys committing for several years up until the next competition or whatever it may be. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I do want to see Steph get into the Olympics. I mean, I think that'll be cool. It'll be good to see like the biggest names, although LeBron will be like 40 or something and Steph will be, you know, 35, 36 and whatnot. So they will need some young dudes. I'm sure Anthony Edwards, if healthy, will be there. It's tough, you know, seeing Anthony Edwards and Halliburton on that squad and be like, doh, in some other timeline.
But we all know it takes 12 years for a center to develop. So,
yeah, I mean, it's like we can go back to our discussions about the 2020 draft way back when. And, oh, man. Anyway,
I'm pretty sure the Rockets fans are like talking about, you know, the difference between Usman Garuba and Alperen Şengün. They have deep discussions about that as well, just like we have.
You know what? Why not? Are you a Warriors fan who's also a San Francisco Giants fan like me? Then this message is for you. What will the Giants do at the trade deadline? Can they make a deep postseason run? Could Patrick Bailey be the next Buster Posey? These are the questions that keep Brian Murphy and Doug Bruzzoni awake at night, and twice a week, they voice their thoughts on these matters and more as hosts of Giants Croncast, the San Francisco Giants podcast on Fans First Sports Network. Brian and Doug are bloggers who've been on the Giants beat for a decade, and every Monday and Thursday, they assess the state of the roster, the thinking behind the front office's decisions, and the quality of the farm system. It's a comprehensive look at the orange and black. Giants Croncast, the first, best, and only podcast you'll need about the San Francisco Giants, right here on Fans First Sports Network and available wherever you get your podcasts. I want to ask you about the new NBA rest rules. That's the news, I think, of the past week and a half or whatever. What are the rules? Tell the listeners, viewers.
Oh my God, am I supposed to go over them?
Well, I mean, just the basic rules. I mean, basically,
you can't rest your stars, and stars is determined by how many All-Star games you get, and
or all NBA.
Yeah, and if you do rest, then you're going to get fined $100,000 the first time, $200,000 the next time, and I think $1 million the next time. But the whole idea is that you get star players to play in nationally televised games, and the NBA set it up so that the second game of a back-to-back that's a national game will there'll be no back-to-backs if the second game is a national game. And so we shouldn't have an issue with rest when it comes to national games. It's going to affect the Warriors greatly because we theoretically have four stars based on that criteria. I would say that there's an asterisk with those four stars. Because it's Draymond and CP as well at their particular ages. That would probably mean that they should get some rest. But I think there are some rules built in for 35 and older or 34 and older. So I don't think it's going to affect CP as much.
Okay. Okay. Wait, what are the rules for 34 and older?
I'd have to double check that. But I think there are some concessions for...
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because... Draymond, I think, was an All-Star a couple years ago, or it has to be within 3 years, the All-Star thing or the All-NBA team type thing. One good thing is that Klay Thompson is in the clear because he has not sniffed either of those, of course, since his injuries. So he can rest as much as he wants.
So the NBA will allow pre-approved designated back-to-back allowances for players who are 35 years old on opening night who have career workloads of 34,000 regular season minutes or 1,000 regular season and playoff games combined.
Okay. So I obviously don't have the math on the Warriors vets, but you know, I'm pretty sure they are going to be good to go. I mean, Draymond's not going to be 35. Steph, not yet. And then
it's really
Chris Paul is like 65.
I'm pretty sure CP probably created this, helped create this rule. So
is he still like a part
he's
of
not on the, he's not on the, okay. on the players anymore.
But Wiggins is the one all-star from the past few years who cannot rest, but he's like, what, 28? So not too worried about him in that respect. But, you know, that being said, though, you know, guys like, I mean, there's a bunch of older teams in the West, right? Like the ones when they're all healthy, it's like the Suns, the Clippers, the Lakers, right? I mean, at least the Lakers' two best players. So it's not just going to be the Warriors who could be affected by this kind of thing. But, you know, I was joking. I was like, well, CP is going to like break down by November and we're just going to like release him or something, right? But I guess if he's covered by the concessions, these extra old man clauses, then they'll probably be all right. I mean, I guess I'm not overly concerned about this rule. And I'm all for players playing, you know, playing simple. And I know a lot of them are too.
I'm all for it. You know, I don't think the rest has really helped player injuries the past few years. I don't know if like we could come, there's a lot of topics out there, a lot of discussion about whether or not the rest actually helps. But my whole thing is like, why is the NBA fining teams by resting players and not actually incentivizing the regular season? Like there's other ways to make the regular season more important. There's a reason why they're resting, because they care 1000% about the playoffs more so than anything else. I mean, this is probably a Warriors issue because of the 73-9 season. Like, great, we're regular season champions, but nobody remembers that or cares even. This is true across all four sports, right? The team that has the regular season record has lost the championship in baseball, football, and basketball. And I don't know what the fourth is, probably hockey, right? And so can we just make the regular season more important instead of fining $100,000?
I don't know. They have a tournament now, which
I don't know. The tournament is a whole other thing. I mean, my whole theory about it is to test the waters for a Las Vegas basketball team. That's what the tournament is about.
Yeah. I'm all for a Vegas team. You know that. Vegas, Seattle, those are the expansion teams that we always on the group text like mention. So, and then send the Memphis OKC to the East or the Pelicans to the East or something.
Please. You know? But yeah, I think the rest rules are, you know, that's great. I'm crazy enough to go to like random basketball games when I travel throughout the country. So like a random game in Milwaukee on a Wednesday, or I want to go see the Warriors play in Dallas this, you know, next March. And I can't imagine. Can you imagine the people who have spent for the past 10 years fly from overseas all the way to Oakland at the time to see Steph Curry play, and he gets rested on like a Tuesday?
He doesn't rest at home.
But just like flying somewhere overseas.
Right, right.
Thousands of dollars. Like in some ways, you should just get your money back. But I mean, the only equivalent to this is when you go see a play and you get an understudy instead of the main actor.
You know, I mean, I know a lot of the players, like it's the teams that push the rest and stuff like that. So hopefully everybody's happy with this kind of thing. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And yeah, the in-season tournament, that is 100% something that I have not even paid attention to. When they kind of announced what in the off season, what it's going to be like, I was like, okay, I'll figure it out when the regular season starts, because you know, we'll see how that all plays out.
I was very confused with MLS because they have like a championship league thing that happens in season. And I was watching all of the Miami games with what's his name, the most famous Messi. Soccer player in the world, Messi. With Messi. And when they won the in-season thing, like it was like a huge celebration. And I was like, did they just win like some sort of cup? And then I looked it up and I'm like, why is their record last place? And they're just celebrating this cup thing. And I had to dig in and realize that this whole in-season thing. And are we ever going to get to that part where like, you know, the Houston Rockets win the in-season cup and then they celebrate like they just won the championship? Meanwhile, we have a championship 5 months later. Very, very odd.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think it's funny that, like, again, this may have been towards the end of last season that they said the winner gets like the players get like 500 grand or something each, and I was like, Steph makes that in a game or something.
Right? Oh, but it means a lot for seven of those players, though, right?
Yeah, like, I know, but incentivizing like the getting buy-in from the. Star players. But again, if it just falls into the 82 game season, the regular season, then, you know, it's fine.
When baseball got the whole, like, whatever league ends up with home field advantage in the World Series, like, that was a game changer.
Do they still do that?
I don't know if they still do that. I mean, it was a big deal when the Giants were playing, I think, in the World Series. I haven't followed baseball in a while, but I mean, wouldn't that be more enticing?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated, and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time, and go Dubs.